Count me in. Three.
Is it on?
Two.
Is it on? Is it on?
Count me in. I need the drummer.
Coming to you live from Super Training Gym, this is Mark Bell's PowerCast. Sponsored by BSN, The Power Magazine, and
Slingshot.
The Slingshot.
Bodybuilding.com.
Bodybuilding.com.
CavemanCoffeeCo.com.
Caveman Coffee Company.
Alongside
Mark Bell, Silent Mike, Omar, and Jim McD. And I'm Dick Wickerson, and I'm not wearing any underwear.
Freezing cold. Talk into your microphone, buddy.
Take your shirt off. Will you take it off?
Do you want me to take what?
No, get, you're done.
No, you
get
leave it on.
Leave.
Put more clothes
Thank
on.
Thank you very much. You can leave.
Here is your host, Mark Bell.
Self-announced. Hey,
hey. Wonderful job, Mr.
Yeah, Mr. Lickerson.
Mr. Lickerson.
10 out of 10.
Wow-wee.
Wow. Right. Mr. Lickerson.
I feel like I'm Jerry Seinfeld up here.
Look at all the people out here tonight.
What was that? That's, who was that? What was that impersonation?
No, sounded like Bill Cosby to me.
It was random. It was David Lee Roth.
I did. That's
David
Lee Roth. Weird.
I'm falling asleep. Was that Bill Cosby?
Might have been.
Mark, why are you looking so jacked?
I've been working out with weights.
We pumped up before this. That's a true
for
story.
For a long time.
We just want to look good for the audience.
No, you pumped up.
I did.
Yeah.
I
don't lie, buddy.
Where's Marcus? Where's my boy?
I didn't.
Yo, Jerry!
What?
Okay.
Hang on.
These references suck right now.
I like your shirt. You right there.
Why didn't I get that hoodie?
I want to thank you guys for coming out today. I appreciate you guys coming out. We got some podcasting to do, which will be just us up here talking about what we usually do, nothing. And then after that, we're going to take you guys through a little bit of lifting. There's a decent-sized crowd here, so I don't know how many of you will get an opportunity to lift, but we will demo. I'll show you guys certain cues and stuff that we're looking for here at Super Training, and we will also take time for a selfie. Hello.
Apparently.
We will also allow you guys to go through at least one of the movements, possibly a bowel movement. Not in the sink, though, because the sinks aren't hooked up yet. But we will take you guys through probably one of the movements, probably being the deadlift, kind of the easiest one to coach, the easiest one to get everybody through. So everybody will get a crack at some deadlifting. We'll go through some squats, and we'll go through some benching.
Squats!
We'll go through some benching as well, teach you guys, coach you guys up on that. And make sure you all know what you're doing.
What about the curl, man? Are we going to do the curl or no?
Strict curl. That's a powerlifting movement.
I heard it's coming as the fourth movement. I don't know.
I don't know if you've checked the history books, but it is a powerlifting movement.
We are going to go over the donkey calf raise.
Live demonstrations.
The donkey calf raise machine is over that way.
Guys only.
We do have a calf raise machine. I don't know if you saw it. No joke.
Yeah,
with a raise of hands there, who's into actual powerlifting, you'd say, more than bodybuilding? Like, who's more strength training? Look at all the beautiful people here.
Almost half.
Bob Evans is more into bodybuilding.
Yeah, we got our two top bodybuilders on the right.
As you can tell, they're each about 38% body
fat. They're
about
3 weeks out.
They're off season.
3 weeks times 100.
Here's the question. So why is it getting more popular? Mark, you've been around the business for so long.
Okay. Oh, my God.
At least how long have you been training for?
A long time.
In minutes. Yes.
No, just say the year.
Yeah,
say
in minutes.
Say it. Come on. I mean, come on, man. Say it.
I think I started when I was about 11.
Yeah.
Did it stunt your growth?
And I'm 430 years old now.
430.
I'm 38, so you do the math on that. It's been a long time.
Training longer.
My parents are over there, by the way. Rosemary and Sheldon Bell. They bought my oldest brother a weight set, and the rest is history. And here we are.
How did you get started? Break this down. Because, like, powerlifting, only in the last couple of years has it become more popular, like strength training in general.
Yeah, were you watching YouTube as a kid?
Yeah, before did YouTube exist? Telephones? You rode on horses? Like, just give us a breakdown.
I just learned some of it through trial and error, and some of it through my brothers. My brother Chris was born with kind of bad knees, bad hips, and stuff like that, and had a chiropractor who kind of showed us the ropes and showed us the way, and basically just kind of taught him what I always preach now is that strength is never a weakness. So even though my brother had some disabilities, able to overcome those disabilities by making his body stronger.
Now tell me, so what do you think attracts people now then into powerlifting? Like, why is it blowing up, Mark? Why are you so popular?
Come on in.
Why are you so tan?
Come on in.
Of the cold.
Hey now.
Hey now.
Sit by the fire.
Yeah, so why is it blowing up? Like, why do you think more? So it's kind of like, take us through it maybe, like your journey. Why was it underground for so long?
I think, social media has been a big part of it. And a saying that I say often is it takes a little bit to be good, but it takes a lot to be great. So a lot of people are just kind of getting their toes wet a little bit with some of this stuff, and they're just starting to get into it. And it's not a body of work to do a 400-pound deadlift for most guys. It's not a body of work for a woman to do a 300-pound deadlift. Those things are becoming extremely, extremely common.
Sure.
And so people are seeing success early on, and that success is part of the reason why they're staying with it for a while. The question is when adversity comes your way and when you get hurt and when the shit hits the fan, is will you still be doing it? And so we will see in the upcoming years if people will still be sticking it out. It's a painful sport. It's not for everybody.
Well, Mark, when we were in the jacuzzi together last night, we were kind of talking about this adversity thing. We say that there's, you know, it takes a little bit to be good. It wasn't weird. It takes a little bit to be good and then a lot to be great.
Clothing
there's
optional.
Kind of this huge, yeah, optional. There wasn't no clothing. Okay. That it takes a lot to be great, that many people, like you first get, what, your 400-pound deadlift, awesome, it takes no time. Maybe 500 pounds takes a year or two. Then 600 pounds takes a while, but then a lot of people drop off. So why do you think that happens, and how do you prevent it? Because a lot of people here, maybe they're beginner, intermediate stage. So how do you stop that from happening?
It just comes down to you have to pile up more and more things that you don't want to do.
Okay.
You have to pile up more and more things that you're uncomfortable doing, and it just at a certain point, you just don't want to do those things. So if you're really struggling with a deadlift and it takes you a year or 2 years to go from a 600-pound deadlift to like a 620 deadlift, a lot of times it's simply because there's a bunch of shit that you don't want to do. There's a bunch of things that you don't want to bother to endure. There's also some limitations. You know, everybody's going to be somewhat limited in a certain way. You think about like a 40-yard dash or a vertical. There's going to be some genetic limitations to those
sure.
things.
People
Speaking
talk
of
about. Which, I smoked Omar last night.
Yeah. Let's not start.
Yeah, you did.
Sorry,
crushed him.
You're going to see the video. It was Canada versus America.
And I smoked him.
We tied
smoke
at the
show.
End. Shut. Mike, tell the truth.
A tie.
Who benched more?
Plus
Who benched
one.
More?
I benched way more.
Dude, okay, so we tied on the slingshot bench. Then we went on to the dumbbells.
We didn't tie on a slingshot bench.
I beat him.
He beat me on the 100-pound dumbbells, but when we went up to 115s,
that wasn't even the competition.
Story.
You just decided to do something else. Where's the dude? Where's Zeus? Zeus was there. He called it out. Anyway, so what happened? We tied the first event. Then the second event, I smoked his ass. And then, because he's a fat ass, he's been doing a little bit of cardio. Okay, so the last one we thought, like...
And I beat him by a whole second. An entire second.
Can you
second.
Just hold on 1 second, please? 1 second, Mike. So then we decided to do the third event, and it was sprinting. So the first two were like bodybuilding, and he did beat me.
And the fourth event was light
enough to say that.
Winning. I'm winning right there.
You're winning. You look like a bum right now. Come on. You didn't even shave your face. You're
it's
meeting
the
all
shirt.
These people. It's the shirt.
Yeah.
It's a shit shirt. You should get a new shirt. Yeah, but so it's, you know, tensions were hot. It was Canada versus America.
Why are you so fired up right now?
Because I want a rematch live right
Too
now.
Too much caffeine.
Because we're tied. Like, it's horrible. Who likes a tie? That makes no sense.
Soccer and hockey.
I want to beat him.
I want to beat him.
I want more weight.
More weight.
It wasn't a bad battle, but I think you were making up the rules as you're going along.
Yeah. Oh, we had no rules. We were completely YOLOing it. But anyways, back to this. back to serious conversation here. So you've probably met all the strong lifters, right? Some of the greatest lifters of all time. You've interacted with probably the most amount of people just in the body of work you've been able to do. What separates all these champions? And many people will be like, oh, man, you know, it's genetics. Like, when they first picked up weight, they're deadlifting 400 pounds. It's not fair. But you'll notice maybe some commonalities. So what do you notice amongst all these champions?
Amongst most of the champions, it's just simple. You hear it time and time again. It's consistency. Consistency and hard work over just a long period of time, and nobody ever wants to hear that. When somebody, somebody drops like 100 pounds, somebody loses 100 pounds of body fat, and they start to get into the story of how they lost that weight, as soon as they're into like sentence number two, everyone stops listening to them because it's a long story.
Yeah.
And it's not like, oh, I took this pill, man. One pill worked great, and now
one weird trick.
Yeah, so
one weird trick for abs.
Well,
it's a lot of hard work.
They have to develop a story about why it worked for them, whether or not it's the actual truth.
Sure,
it's a story that works for them in their mind. It's their own like, you
know, their narrative that they tell.
Their own
sure.
narrative. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And I think that makes a big difference. Another point, going back to the explosion of popularity of powerlifting, I think it's less gear.
Okay.
It's the emergence of
Raul.
It's been a huge difference because it isn't as complicated. It doesn't require as much help.
Yeah.
You know, it isn't as much of a time commitment. When we started in gear, you know, training sessions were literally hours and hours long.
4 or 5 hours, very common.
Yeah. And it, I mean, you always
think about it, to squat 1,000 pounds, it takes a long time.
Yeah, it's
you
a long
squat all the weights in between that.
Yeah, know? It's a long progression up to 1,000 pounds of all those bench sessions that used to those Thursday nights that would take forever. Like we're never gonna get to go home. You know, because this person and that person needed to get in their shirt, and you can't do it all at the same time, and you know.
The other side of it, too, I think that people are learning about powerlifting. The greatest thing about powerlifting is that the results are very black and white. It's very easy to see. Are you getting better or are you getting worse?
Yeah, instant gratification.
Yeah. With aesthetics, it's much harder.
Sure.
It's much harder to kind of manage, and it can be really frustrating. And you could have a lot of hang-ups about trying to lose body fat. And it's not always easy to try to mold your body and make your body look the way that you want. You either need to be an expert or you need to consult with an expert in order to do that. But when it comes to lifting, there's plenty of information out there for you. Supertraining.tv, for example. You can find enough information to at least get started and at least get heading in the right direction. So.
Yeah.
I think that's why people fall in love with lifting, is you can see the results quickly.
Even though to become really, really, really strong, it does take decades or years to hit PR, 2 pound, 5 pound PR. Yeah. It may only take a 6 week training cycle.
What's awesome about it, though, is kind of it's objective. You know what I mean? Like if you lift through the weight 500 pounds, unless you do it on YouTube, right?
Yeah, some reason
like,
it's not.
No one squats.
It
no
should
one,
be
no
black
one apparently
and white.
Hits depth, yeah. Right?
Some
you
people don't walk. Your socks walk out their deadlifts.
Yeah, your socks were too gay.
Squat
right?
High.
Like, we know knee sleeves add at least 80 pounds.
Yeah,
wear knee sleeves everywhere.
Too high. Come on. But I mean, with bodybuilding, it's a little subjective where you're evaluating your own physique, and then you know you have your own insecurities. That you see, like, oh, am I really losing weight or whatnot? Powerlifting, it's amazing. It's like you hit a number or you don't hit the number.
And there's
going
to be judges and politics and everything we deal with. But a lot of the bodybuilders we've talked about is just the politics and bodybuilding gets really hairy.
Okay,
now hairy.
Yeah, really shaved.
Really shaved.
Yeah, really shaved.
Hairy like this wig right here.
We talked the video game
hair. Discovered.
You guys ever made your own character on like NBA 2K or like
Skyrim?
Madden?
Skyrim.
Yeah, and you're like making your linebacker and then you just put hair on him.
This is one dimensional hair.
This is a wig right here. This is, we call this wrestling hair right here.
Video game hair.
Yeah. So let's dive in though, Mark. Back into powerlifting because I want some questions answered. You said
the negative about powerlifting is, you know, a lot of times you start to think, you know, you're trying to make yourself as big, as strong as possible, and you get to a point where you can no longer clean your own butthole.
Yeah.
And
wait,
so you
what?
Have to just hop in the shower.
These are some
awkward
confessions.
You can't figure out. It's like...
That's the ultimate goal?
Every year I've been powerlifting, it seems like my asshole is just getting further and further away from me. I don't know what the hell is going on, if my arms are getting shorter or if my lats are getting bigger.
T-Rex syndrome?
Fatter, or if it's a mobility thing. You know, I need to consult Kelly Starrett or something.
Yeah. Is that why
but
you have an
basically
assistant?
I just got to hop in the shower. I have a detachable shower head.
Oh.
And that helps solve everything. So nearly every time I poop, I have to shower. I mean, you want to get that thing nice and clean. That's it's important. You know?
I heard. And the
should
last,
be able to see your own reflection in it.
In the last PowerCast, you said your butthole was like 42 years old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're 38.
Yeah. I think I underestimated. I think my butthole is actually probably about 55.
From just overuse.
Yeah, exactly.
Too much Starbucks.
Real talk, like for powerlifters that are like 300 plus pounds, isn't that like seriously a huge issue? Like just their
buttholes?
Digestion? Yeah. I mean, just
I think
like,
there's a lot more issues. Let's ask our two physique athletes.
Yeah, it really gets tricky. I'm telling you guys. You're going to, you know, in a few years, you guys are going to be like, fuck, this is what he was talking about.
So now everyone's going to stop lifting.
Yeah.
They're scared of their butthole. I'm going to be small.
No more lat pull downs and no more pull ups for anybody.
That bodybuilding sounds a whole lot better. So talking about another sexy topic, let's talk about women in powerlifting and why we're seeing a lot more women get into strength training.
Did you say another sexy topic?
Yeah,
what was the first one?
The one we were just talking about.
Hey, it's simple. The women want to be where the men are at, right?
Yeah.
What, fat? With
isn't
gross
that easy?
I don't get it.
The ladies want to be where the dudes are at, right?
Okay.
Isn't it that easy? A gym full of 30 or 40 men?
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Sign me up.
If it was a gym full of 30 or 40 women, where would you be, buddy?
That's why we started
where
Zumba.
Where the guys are at.
Omar and I.
Yeah, we started Zumba. We started some jazzercise. Did you know, by the way, that Nutella...
Was
Mark.
Made
did
by?
You know
who
was
Nutella made
oh
by?
Oh, my God.
Did you know that?
Oh, my God.
We tell them about the story.
Silent Mike.
We're gonna
out of nowhere.
We're going to diverge here for a second.
Out of nowhere. Gets all excited and fired up.
Somebody will
okay,
know.
Okay, so let's set it up. Mark and I went for... Anyone here had Pinkberry? Okay, it's fucking awesome. So we went, we got some yoga.
Fro-yo.
That's what we do. We lead the metrosexual lifestyle. We got some yoga.
Quinn Bell forced us into it. My daughter, she's addicted.
That's what she did. And then so we got some Nutella on top of it. We're eating it. We're here at like 11 o'clock last night.
Which is
night.
Hippie's chocolate.
Okay, I don't want to hear it. And then
it's
we're
nice 40 cents for that shit.
Yeah, it's expensive, but God, it tastes great. So we're eating it, and like we're coming up with ideas to film videos. And Mike, all of a sudden, he's like, dude, you know Nutella was invented by the Nazis.
So what I read somewhere.
He was so matter-of-fact about it, too.
Very like matter-of-fact.
I'm not that guy, either. I'm not like Mr. Trivia. I know nothing.
Come on.
No, that's why it struck me as being weird. I was like, he's talking out his ass right now.
Come on, Mike.
He's completely talking out his ass.
There's a website that was popular before, and it was like a random Google. Excuses. And so, like, you'd click, like, categories you liked, and you click, like, search or something. Maybe, like, stumble or something. I don't know. So I used to just waste
Sam,
my life
don't
away.
Talk.
Yeah, Sam,
he used
intern,
to waste
Sam,
life.
Shut your mouth.
Okay. You're off the team.
So I would stumble across things and read random facts, and I swear I read this somewhere, and it was wrong.
It was wrong, yeah.
And then Omar's nerdy self went and actually found the research.
When we got home, I'm telling Omar, I'm like, there's no way that Silent Mike whipped that fact out. I'm like, he's so full of shit. I've never heard him whip out one, like,
so
relative
weird.
Fact ever before.
And then so we Googled it.
He's like, it was during World War II. The Nazis made it.
I swear.
They were starving.
That's how they almost won the war.
I swear I read that.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, maybe you read it. But
my story was really good,
though. So it turns out it was invented by an Italian dude that had a hazelnut farm.
In 1946,
after
the war. Yeah,
like 1946. I'm like, dude, you're completely off base. It's amazing.
When?
46.
I never said anything about the war. I didn't.
He said invented by the Nazis.
You said something about the war.
There's still Nazis today.
God, dude.
Enjoying tons of Nutella.
He is so trying to change the story.
I'm just saying it's still a possibility.
Okay, well let's stop shitting on you for a second.
Oh, right, another sexy topic.
let's turn it around here.
Hey, okay.
Do 180. Talk about finding. So powerlifting, we know it's
blowing
up.
What are you doing? Are you sticking to some script or something?
No, I have something I want to talk about. You just want to talk about Nutella.
You didn't get the script.
You're wrong. Admit you're wrong.
God.
Be a man.
Mike didn't get the script.
What is going on?
Stick on the script. Stick on the goddamn script. So
$20 bill?
You can't say goddamn. My parents are here.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm going to get beaten after this.
Gosh dang it, maybe.
Gosh dang. So tell me about you finding this gym. Because powerlifting.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah. Mike, we're finally shining the light on you. We could just ignore it right now. We could just like turn the mic around.
Everyone skipped a minute 15 if you want to hear something good. Keep going.
About finding. So the key here, like you want to get into powerlifting strength training, you need a good gym. You can't do that at Planet Fitness where they set off the lunk alarm. That makes no sense, right? They give you pizza at the end of the month.
Oh, my
so,
God.
Which isn't the worst idea.
It's not the worst.
Yeah, but
they're already overweight, like the people that go there. So it's it's called enabling. It's like giving someone addicted.
You're really
drugs,
revving up
drugs.
Our physique guys with this pizza
yeah.
talk.
Whoa, pizza.
They're so excited.
Screw this super.
Such
training
a great
team.
Ad
sucks.
For Planet Fitness.
So like we've
I'm
been
on my
here,
way.
We've been here to super training. Like it's a phenomenal gym. We'll talk about it in a second. But how did you find? Because I found my own gym like 2 years ago. I was working out at some crappy commercial gym. So talk us through it, Mike. Talk us through yourself, the gym, your desires, your fears.
I feel like some of the reason me and some of these super trainers, or Mark to be exact, get along is that both of us through our careers and whatever we're doing know that to get better, you have to be around like-minded people, and
absolutely.
You have to be around someone that's better than you.
Sure.
And obviously, Mark is way more experienced than me, stronger than me, almost handsomer than me.
He is more tanned.
He's more tanned. Almost,
he also,
huh? Almost.
He also has very perky nipples.
Why
no
is
one knows.
That?
I mean, I don't know. They can cut diamonds. Like, it's so weird.
These old things?
It's so weird.
So, like, I was trying to power lift. I was trying to do the training thing, just like you, in a commercial gym, trying to lift heavy. It wasn't happening.
Yeah.
And I just knew to take anywhere my career to go with the next level, I had to find someone. And luckily enough, I had a friend that trained at Super Training, and the rest is history.
Mm. That friend was the girl in the sundress that made me fall.
Okay, so there's if you guys who saw the famous video of Mark like smoking both of his knees like trying to squat?
He fell with 1,080 on his back.
Yeah, so you guys have seen that.
So
video.
I know
damn,
you guys should
hurt.
Actually okay, see like, Mark in the video. You saw the sundress in the video.
Yeah,
that
is,
sundress
and maybe something else happened.
She's the reason Silent Mike's
his
here.
Friend.
You can
they
think
never,
that
they never hooked up, but. Friends, right?
Friends. Friend zone.
Just friends.
Just friends.
Yeah, friend zone.
Friend zone.
Perma friend zone.
That was the worst. Like, she was standing right there. So, Mark, like...
Yeah, was there a gust of wind?
Like, what happened?
Were you coming out of the hole and a gust of wind just flew that little sundress up?
You were just like, whoa. Like, both knees were exploding.
It was very distracting. It was very distracting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And weird, she's not on the team anymore.
Yeah, she got off the team after that.
I don't know what happened.
We shipped her out.
Well, you guys don't know...
She's coming back, though.
What's that?
I think she's coming back.
She's moving back to Sacramento, ladies and gentlemen.
Moving back.
Yep. Sundress.
Yep. Sundress is back.
And all. She also dresses as a Green Power Ranger occasionally. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No,
yeah.
No, not green. Pink.
Green, pink.
Pink.
Okay.
Green Power Ranger is...
Yeah, she showed up in one of the meetings tonight.
Oh, yeah, I get the two of you confused. Your hair's
Jim, come on now, man. Come on.
Come on.
So let's all list our best lifts for those that don't know. Like, some people might not know Mark's best lifts because he's a beast. Mark, go ahead first. And I'll follow up. I'll follow up with my list. Not embarrassing. I want you to go first. I want you to go first.
My best bench is 562.
Raw. To a three board.
Raw. In a contest.
Raw.
Yeah, let's just list competition lift. Is that okay?
So I'm zero. All
right. Best squat is, I think I did 644 raw, 1,080 in gear.
Yeah.
And I did a 766 deadlift and a 699 deadlift raw.
0.9.
1901 total raw, 2628 total in gear.
Gosh darn.
That's not bad.
854 bench in a shirt.
That was huge. Thank you, Mr. Lickerson.
Good job, Mr. Lickerson.
Mr. Lickerson.
854.
He has that.
854.
He has a Barry White voice. Like, I'm just saying, it's one of the greatest voices. Mike, tell us about your lifts.
He just got a new Tinder match, ladies and gentlemen.
My God.
Dick Lickerson.
Are you doing it for the guy? Are you doing it for the guy? It is incredible.
And it's the gentleman on this side of the room.
So, Mike, tell us about your lifts, man. Because most people, you know,
best competition lifts are like a 570 squat, 350 bench.
Ooh, yeah.
633.
Oh, yeah.
Deadlift at 198.
And you're about to compete in a little bit. Like, you're like this year.
The goal is this spring.
What do you want to hit?
I haven't decided if I'm going to go wraps or sleeves. If I go sleevies, then I'm going to hit 570 or more.
Yep.
If I go wrappies, I'm going to hit 6 plus.
Yeah.
I'm going to bench 370 plus, and I'm going to pull like 660, 680.
That is not bad.
Yeah. That's not what I'm going to, that's just what I'm going to do.
So, because you've been under Mark's tutelage all these years, tell me this, like you do have, like, for a natural and for your body weight, you're probably, because you're not on YouTube, like one of the most underrated natural lifters. Talk me through this then.
Underrated?
Underrated. Yeah, you're that means nobody knows you.
Oh. Yeah, it just means you're not
that's
popular.
What it means. But so tell me what have been some of the biggest factors to make you stronger, right? Like, because what were your lifts when you first came to super training before you met your BFF?
Yeah, yeah.
What were your lifts?
I had squatted a sketchy 500. I benched around 330 and pulled when I visited super training, not actually joined. Yeah. I was working so I couldn't train full time. I pulled like 530 and I almost threw up, and Mark's like in my face screaming at me. He's like, yeah, walk it out. I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna puke on Mark Bell and get kicked out of the gym.
My hero. I'm about to puke on. It's amazing. So
that was it.
What then has it, so it's, you probably have gone up about like 200 pounds on your total, which is huge.
Or way more.
Or way more. That's huge. So what have been the biggest factors for you? Like, we're talking about people getting, you know, into lifting, and then there's kind of like that weird intermediate phase where, you know, they get injured and they don't get past like a 600-pound deadlift. You've kept progressing. What has helped you? You guys are late. I don't appreciate that. You're off the team.
Lucky enough, like when I came into super training, I don't know how Mark trained beforehand, but he was becoming really good friends with Kelly Sturette at Mobility Wad. And so Mark really emphasized, well, he didn't really emphasize, but I'd see him warm up correctly, stretch correctly, find a better position for the day. So that's helped me stay healthy. And then just monitoring your volume and going hard with the team. You know, even though Mark out-totals me by 400 or 500 pounds, we train together every single day.
Yeah.
And I'd try to keep up within that range. So, you know, he benches 550, I bench 350. That's 200 pounds apart.
Sure.
Whatever exercise we're doing for that day, if I'm within 200 pounds, I win.
Yeah.
You know, like, no, I'm never going to bench 550. But if I bench, you know, within that range, I'm trying to close that gap. One day, all right, I got better, you know. And then just having good eyes on you. It's hard to train alone.
Yeah.
And so everyone at super training is just educated. They try to watch, they try to listen, they try to read, and they're always going to help each other. What are you guys laughing at?
What are you guys looking at?
Bob Evans.
What are you people doing? You're about to get kicked out.
He can't even fold his legs.
he's so fat. Can't even fold his legs.
Almost cramped up.
Bob Evans. But I noticed that though, like most of the strongest people, what? They train with a group, they have like kind of their crew. You need that.
There's certain freaks out there, guys like Mike Tashier.
Mike Tashier is the
even Mr. Hamilton, he trains with you for some reason.
He does, I don't know
why. But he's really strong.
Yeah. It's like training alone.
But there's some freaks out there that can train alone. And a lot of those guys' form's locked in. I don't know how they locked it in.
Yeah, but people that train by themselves just have no friends though.
They probably smell too much.
Yeah. Well, you know, you just hear people all the time, they say, oh, we don't have that shit in our area.
Make it. Find it.
Create it. Make it happen. Try to figure out a way. There's always gyms that would be open to, you know, you buying a piece of equipment or getting in with another guy and buying, you know, buying a,
getting
a deadlift
in with another guy,
buying a deadlift bar,
that's
just, some
that's
shit
Mark,
like that.
Mark Bell, everyone.
Hey now. But I just hear a lot of excuses, and that's all sure. they really are. And people are just, it just makes me sick sometimes to hear the lame excuses because, you know, I've always done everything and anything I could to try to get good training partners and try to surround myself with good people. And, you know, we're talking numbers here. You have, you said you got a couple people that work for you. You got a cameraman, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What is your cameraman deadlift?
Oh, he like over 600 pounds.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, yeah.
He's always stronger. I'm the weakest person in my own gym.
And we got a cameraman and web guy here who also has deadlifted over 600
yeah,
pounds.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
so it's important that, yeah, your people, everybody
around
you. Shout
out to Nigel listening to this.
Shout out to Jim McD.
Shout
out to
Nigel.
It's important
put your clothes
that everybody
back on.
Around you is in on it, you know?
But Mark, tell me this: like, so is that why you started Super Training Base? You wanted a place where you could train at and like kind of excel, or like
yeah,
what
it started for selfish reasons. Okay. Just to nice. I knew that you know I wanted to be the best, and I wanted to try to be better than pretty much everybody that I knew. And I started to develop a list, and it was actually a physical list where I wrote people's names down. And one of the names towards the top of that list was my good friend Jesse Burdick. And then what I would do is, as I would compete really often. I competed really frequently through a certain period of time, and as I would compete, I'd scratch their name off the list as I started to beat those people. So, but I knew I wasn't going to be able to do that alone, and so I started super training in about 2005-ish officially,
yeah,
I guess.
About October.
And why
November,
is there a big 06 on our symbol?
Because that's when it became a gym.
Yeah, that's when we had our own. Yeah.
So
we
were been living a lie this whole time.
Yeah, yeah. we were in the back of a commercial gym in Woodland about
right.
12 miles from here, something like
so
that.
So confused.
Yeah, it was an interesting experience that early time because we actually started training in that gym before it was finished building. Like there was drywall dust in the air.
Yeah, we started in a gym in Woodland, California. It was called Body Construction Zone, and you know that was just me having a conversation with a gym owner. You know, somebody that was just opening up a gym, somebody who was kind of new to owning a gym business, and I just sold them on the fact that they needed to buy a ton of powerlifting shit. And they bought about $8,000 worth of powerlifting stuff. And so I was very fortunate to kind of get my start with some of that. Some of that equipment is still inside this facility today.
That red monolith over there.
Yeah.
That yellow bench right there. A
couple dinosaur bones laying around yeah. here, yeah.
Some of the bars.
But after that, we moved into another facility, which was not too far from here, actually. But it was a real shithole, and we were near a funeral home.
Funeral home,
and they would sacrifice chickens and cows and pigs and
amazing.
Shit like that.
Voodoo worship,
pretty much right in front of us. It was
illegal funeral home. They would start cooking on Wednesday or Thursday, that's depending disgusting. Upon how many funerals there were to do that weekend.
They would let the blood of the animals just drain right into the storm drain. Yeah, right into the storm drain. Pretty much right.
If you
in
go
front
back
of
and
us,
look so. At some of the old videos. You can see like the chicken. In pens outside the
they did cook up some
door.
Mean food though. I'll tell
yes,
you that.
They did.
But we saw like one time we saw that one day we saw like they pulled up with like half a cow
yes.
in the back of the car, and that was pretty gross.
I remember just seeing just the head one time.
Oh yeah, yeah, there was that too. There's that too.
Pigs.
But why is it free? Like
but that was
like that here because here like Mark, I want to call you out for this.
That's a lot of fast forwarding.
Look, because you live in California. Are you a communist? Because people don't pay anything for this gym. It's kind of weird.
It's kind of weird
because you have.
Weird.
So I've been to quite a few gyms where I worked as a trainer and whatnot, and this for sure is by far one of the best I've ever been to, and it's better than like probably 99.9% of
the
gyms.
The people or the equipment?
No, not you. Okay, oh. The equipment for sure. Yeah. Sam, you're off the team, not you. But the equipment that you guys have, the amount, like Mark, probably what's the raw cost if you had to add everything up, like 30, 40, 50,000?
Mine is $1 trillion.
At least.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a lot.
But why, so what I'm trying
it's
to say is that
to.
If you're interested in strength training, like this is the gym, right, to go to. And it would be the gym that I would want to train, but you don't pay a fee. Like in Toronto, it's
and maybe, you're uninvited.
Yeah,
it's private.
It's like 60, 70 bucks. So why is it free? Why do you believe in keeping it free instead of charging? Because the point is that you can make money off of this, definitely.
Right.
But you choose not to. And I thought you were just a big businessman. You sell Slingshot products, right? Okay. Sell a lot of stuff. Making that money. I mean, come on, man. You're making that money. So why is it free? Tell me.
It's free for multiple reasons, but the ultimate reason is, as I say often, is to make the world a better place to lift. A lot of this stuff that I learned from my older brothers, and this is a passion for me. This is something I love doing. I've loved it from the first moment that I did it. So it's something I like to share with people. This stuff gets to be confusing, gets to be really watered down. And
there's a lot of bullshit YouTubers out there.
Not to name any names.
Bandana Head.
Omer Surf Clam.
Yeah, there's a lot of
Asthma.
There's a lot of crap out there. So
the legendary.
But I mean, you know, another reason why it's free too is just to make a statement and to become, you know, rich and famous. I'll become more rich off of making it free. It sounds really weird. It's different. People aren't used to hearing it, and people don't have any a concept of what the fuck it is I'm talking about. But everybody will in a few years when it all works out the way that I have planned in my fat head.
Yeah. How long have you been like planning all this? Where you started with the slingshot and whatnot? Because now. I've been to your
the
house.
The devious plan started December 10th, 1976.
1976. The day you were born. That's the right. Day you were born. Is it kind of weird that I know that?
The day I was born.
Since the day I was born. So it's like a lot of people also, they want to start businesses and whatnot. Like how long ago did you start Slingshot? And like just walk me through, you know, like its success. Because I've been to your house. I've seen the money. Okay.
Yeah,
I've seen the cars. Okay, I've seen the jacuzzi. I saw the Buddha head in the back, which is kind of weird. What's weird? Mark and I, in the morning...
My mom doesn't like that Buddha head.
I love that
thing. There's a Buddha head...
I like that Buddha head.
...at the back of Mark's house. Like, just...
Ancient
like,
ruins.
Yeah, and so we sometimes just, like, meditate out there, whatever. Like
do you guys did yoga at the sunrise?
Balance our chi is what we do. Yeah. Remember our spirit. Kind of open
Where's
style.
Your
we
chi?
We light some cameras. Candles.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I said cameras. I'm like, what?
Yeah, that's weird.
What?
Yes. What were you guys filming?
I don't want to talk about it. Okay.
I don't even know when it started. I don't know a lot of the I don't know a lot of the answers to a lot of the questions you're asking. Like I don't know how much everything in this gym costs. I don't know how much my house is. I don't know what my mortgage is. I don't know how much my car costs. I don't know.
Maybe your wife should.
Because your wife's so awesome. She's in the back
yeah,
over there, Andy.
She is.
She's super nice.
But there you go.
She should probably be the new host.
The secret is find a good woman is what I'm like hearing from this.
That is the secret.
That is the secret.
Part of the reason why I don't know any of that stuff because I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I'm focused in on lifting. I'm focused in on trying to make other people better lifters, and I'm focused in on trying to make great products. That's where my mind's at. So I don't really think about, you know, whether the floor costs $1,000 or $10,000. It doesn't make any difference to me.
Is that why your shirts are so expensive?
Yes.
Yeah, like in the video that we filmed, it has half a million views. He's like just training. That's why I call him a metrosexual because he cares about these things, right? And he's like, yeah, this shirt I'm wearing right here is about $150 when I'm training. I'm like, that is an expensive ass shirt. Like, what are you doing with that shirt?
Yeah, a couple people got upset about it. Yeah. It actually,
explain that. It wasn't $150.
Yeah. Well, the shirt's actually like $25, but it was from Nordstrom. But it was like, I don't know, it was like four, you know, you buy four shirts and it was like $20 each or something, or $25 each or something like that.
So you rounded up to $150.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought it was a markdown situation. I thought it was like something, I thought it started out more.
No. It's just, all it is a fucking V-neck t-shirt. That's all it is. It looks fancy. It looks like a $150 shirt, so y'all been had.
Well, Mark, Silent Mike just gave me the nudge that we should be taking some Q&A.
Yeah, just got it from our
people.
Producer.
We want to... We want to help
was
you
I
people.
Hold on. Before we get into that...
Oh, tell me.
We got. I got a script.
Oh, no. What are you going to say?
Our producer just said...
Yeah, our producer just said, cut to commercial.
I think we got a few minutes.
Brought to you by Budweiser.
Okay. Sorry. It
gets the LA Fit Expo is coming
up. Shut up, Omar.
And we will all be there, along with, I believe, Omar. You'll be there, right?
Yeah, maybe
for
one
a day.
Day. Yeah, a day.
And
are you
going to
be at our booth?
Yeah, you're going to be at our booth.
Oh, this is a
booth number.
You just got invited.
No idea.
Live on the PowerCast. Yes, Mark, I'll be there.
Benching.
Well, that'd be awesome.
Doing push-ups.
That'd be awesome.
This is your first expo experience, right?
Yeah, I went to the. So I watched my buddy compete in powerlifting at the Toronto Pro Show. And so I was there for like maybe 40 minutes, but not the whole experience.
A Canadian one?
Yeah.
This is your first expo.
It's your first expo, yeah. That's kind of weird.
Did you by chance go to the bathroom? at the expo.
I have heard some things.
Yeah, the Arnold and the Olympia.
Terrifying.
It's the most really
protein bars and protein
ever.
Shakes.
The toilets are on
beef
the ground.
Jerky.
Anybody been to these expos?
Yeah, people doing G for P in the back.
And then
people
guys, and then guys posing in front of the mirror.
Posing in front of the mirror.
People are just blowing up the bathroom in ways you couldn't believe. It smells so bad. It's unbelievable.
Can't people just not take a sample for once?
I don't know.
Like, buddy, you've had like 10 bars, 3 pre-workouts. Can you just chill for a second?
Hey, wait a second. This guy that just walked in is more jacked than me.
He's pretty jacked. Right.
I'm gone.
What do you put in your hair to keep it up that straight, man?
You guys come on in. Move on in.
Sit on down.
So you probably have
now.
Making me self-conscious. Look at my booty.
Everybody sit down Indian style on the floor. Can anybody actually do that? That hurts so bad. Fucking kills.
You're racist. Why is it got to be Indian style?
No. Yeah, yeah.
How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that ass muff blacktail?
Pocahontas
strong,
over here.
Strong cock. But Mark, so tell me.
Ass muff strong cock.
You know, ass muff strong cock. I know Jim likes that. Boom! But no, I was going to say, Mark, that one of the first things that surprised me when I first came into Super Training, like, Mark makes an insane amount of poop jokes. Like, so, chilling with him, there's a lot of things you don't know. Like, he's a super sweetie. Like, his kids love him. He has a hard outside.
Nah.
He's like one of those hard candies, and he's like a super soft.
He's an M&M.
He's an awesome guy. But anyways, so.
It's going to be really gross.
It's getting really weird.
He's a Reese's Pieces.
He melts in your
mouth. He's my bra.
Huh?
No, but anyways, so, the weirdest thing about this gym, like, for real, like, forget it being free. The bathrooms are surprisingly, like, pristine. What the hell?
They're fancy.
It's weird.
Like, I'm still working.
Like, I love that, though. You go to, like, a fancy restaurant, the bathrooms are so unique. I love that. I don't know why. Like, fancy sinks and stuff.
It's got to be a little fancy in there.
Yeah,
you know?
So it clean. They're pretty fancy. Like, I was surprised.
I just kind of think if it looks nice, then people are less likely to piss all over the floor.
Sure, yeah. There's that expectation.
But perhaps not. I don't know.
Yeah, some of these members.
Well,
people will treat it better if it looks nice.
What's the gym that Ronnie Coleman trained at? I went there in Texas. What's it called?
Metroflex.
Yeah, so that one, like, where Ronnie Coleman was like,
sure.
Wait, baby, like all that stuff. Ain't nothing but a peanut.
Buddy.
Yeah, buddy. I love that.
But that dude, that is probably like the most disgusting gym I've ever been to. Like, you could get, like hemp from there.
Cal Strength smells like shit. Cal Strength smells like a football locker room. It smells so bad.
What is
it? Smells
that?
Like balls and asshole and everything else.
What's going on with Ronnie Coleman, you mentioned, right? Yeah. Everybody loves Ronnie Coleman. He's awesome.
Of course.
He's jacked. He's strong as shit. But he's lifting in a single-ply suit. And if we bench press with wrist wraps, people go nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think maybe it's...
You're our connection to the normal people, so tell us.
Yeah, you know Ronnie Coleman, don't you?
It's cheating, man. Come on.
Well, he's in a single-ply suit.
That's also
he's a bodybuilder.
A million people go on Stan Efferding's videos that are on my channel and take his shit because, you know, he compared himself for a little bit on one video to Ronnie Coleman.
Well, he lifted the same thing Ronnie did, except we're actually raw.
Exactly.
I think people don't know, though, almost. Because
people
want to
say, oh, Ronnie
they think he's just wearing a singlet?
Dude, straight up, until you said that, I didn't know he was wearing it.
He's
like,
in
his
single-ply Enzer suit, squatting 800 for a double and pulling whatever
hot.
He does. Yeah. Which, who cares? He's
Stan's a much stronger power lifter.
Right.
Yeah. But I think some of the people got offended because they're like, okay, well, Ronnie Coleman is the highest level bodybuilder. And he still maintains this crazy level of strength. Where Stan
is not
a... High level top bodybuilder.
And Ronnie Coleman is strong. No doubt about it. I was talking more to the people rather than fashion. Why do they hate on people wearing wrist wraps or a belt?
I think
even knee sleeves, knee wraps.
Pulling sumo.
Pulling
sumo.
It's cheater. That's why I call it on YouTube, the video, and like people are just liking it. I'm like, why? I'm like cheating to deadlift.
Yeah.
Pulling sumo. Where like it's a joke. Like everybody hates sumo pulling. I don't, you know.
I don't understand because they can't do it.
Well, go compete in strongman. Because
it just looks weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
I pull conventional, but I had to learn to pull sumo.
Sure.
I couldn't pull conventional until I could pull sumo.
Sure.
Omar's going to pull 600 tomorrow, by the
woo-hoo!
Way.
Woohoo! I'm going to go for
the first time
these
ever.
These Cavs, Team No Cavs. I want to just give a shout out to all the Team No Cavs members out there. They've been holding it down for such a long time.
I sincerely hope that you tear hamstring.
I blow my bicep and my pec at the same time.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Someone's wearing the Team No Cavs. We're Jim, you have, like, let's just talk about this because this is the elephant in the room. A boot.
And it was
you have the most disgustingly
there's the
large
elephant in the room right there.
Mr. Lickerson, you have some of the most disgustingly large calves I've ever seen, and I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah.
Like,
they're jacked.
They're like 19, 20. They have veins inside of veins. Like, it's disgusting. We'll show the audience afterwards. Diamond calves. And I want to know what you did for those calves.
I got a whole secret routine that he does.
It's weird. Donkey calf
every
raises?
Morning.
No, mostly it was just being born, pretty much.
Just genetics.
Genetics. Yeah. It's all genetics. That and, you know, like anything I do, because of the attachments,
yeah.
Anything I do blows my calves up. If I can pull the sled and it blows
editing.
My calves up.
Editing.
Any.
Well,
cause, Any.
Yeah, because I will tap my foot anything. While I'm editing. That will do it too.
Yeah.
I do that sometimes in restaurants.
Editing
restaurant
and podcasting
stalls.
Is yeah. the key to huge calves.
Yeah.
That's what Jeremy said, where everyone's commenting, do that train with the super strong guy, where they're like, dude, he has amazing calves. Like,
Jeremy Hamilton.
Jeremy Hamilton, yeah. Shout out, who's going to be competing at RUM. He huge calves, and everyone's wondering. And he's like, "I don't like, dude. I've never trained them.
A squat.
I don't care about them." He's yeah. like, "If I," he's like, "he told me, he's like, if I could have them like smaller, so I could like gain more weight in another area that you know lift like put up my total, I would."
Right.
And yet, there's like always these comments.
Yeah, you know, it's genetics. The other thing about it is like my knees and my ankles are both loose joints.
Okay.
And two loose joints in a row is not a great idea.
Right.
You don't really want that if you can avoid it. And the theory is that my the legs and my lower leg muscles are always compensating for that joint laxity.
Yeah.
So even just walking.
This just in from my producer.
Now it's time for the Q&A.
Fit Expo. We're booth 626.
Oh, we're at booth 626. Come on down. Yeah, it's going to be the first one then, man. I'll be there on Saturday. It's going to be awesome.
All right.
I heard you guys have, like, some of the craziest fans, like, come on, like, want you to sign things.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me the story about someone, like, wanted to buy something. It's like, oh, my God, Mark used that slingshot?
Yeah, so
like,
yeah, Mark's wife, Andy, is trying to sell a slingshot.
Yeah.
But we're out of a size, like a size large or something. So she found a demo. She's like, oh, like this is Mark's. Like, Mark used this. And the kid's eyes just lit up like Mark Bell slingshot.
It's like Christmas for him.
I'm going to buy this thing.
Mark Bell.
And then I didn't pay attention to the conversation, but I heard it. And I was like, oh, I was just doing some push-ups in that thing for a demo. Kid starts crying and says, I'll give you $15.
He desperately wanted it. And it's like, it's not even worth it.
Yeah.
Not
worth it.
Oh, man.
Not even worth it. Oh.
So you want to do a little Q&A?
Yeah, it looks like the time, man. Yeah, so we want to help you guys out. So raise your hand or whatnot. We're going to give you the microphone. Okay. And then ask your question.
And let's please make sure these questions are dumb.
Yeah, as dumb
absolutely.
As possible.
Please try not to challenge us in any way.
And no math questions. We don't have Mr. Robot.
If you can throw us a softball that we can give you a funny answer.
We do have
to,
an accountant in the house, though.
We do.
In case everybody needs that.
Mr. Bell. All right, so who wants to ask a question? Come on. Come on.
Yeah,
don't
anybody
be shy.
Needs tax help? Mark's dad, by the way.
No. Yeah, no math up here.
Okay, raise your hands. Not all at once. Go ahead. Come on. Come on. Oh, thank you. Guy in the back.
Yeah,
guy in the front.
We'll go here and then come on up. Just ask
real
quick.
On, come on down.
You got to come up.
Price is right,
camera.
Price is right. Come on down.
So what do you
get
you
him,
learn
get him over here more so he's on camera.
No, yeah. Sam is moving the camera.
Oh, he's moving. Okay.
You know what? You know what? Yeah, go. Ask your question, man.
Right. Come on in between us.
Hey, we're wearing the same top. That's kind of weird.
Who the fuck is this? Ivan Drago?
What the fuck's going on here?
If he dies, he dies.
How much do you have to curl for it to be okay to curl in the squat rack?
Now go back to your seat.
No.
Get out of here.
Fuck out of here. Fucking giant. God damn. That's a good question. I like that question. That's a great first question. I like it.
Oh, you're so cool.
We had a long conversation about the
Yeah, Omar was so surprised, but all we do is curl in the squat rack. Like, where are we supposed to curl?
We curl in the curl rack. We call it the curl rack.
Yeah, who has a curl rack? There's no such thing. I didn't. Who started that?
Big divide in gym.
These are $10,000 curl racks.
Curl
rack. Curl stations.
With an $800 deadlift bar.
What are you saying?
That's right.
You can throw out your back if you don't do it right, so it's better.
Yeah, you take it from the lower position.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Next question.
Next.
Come on
next
down.
Good question. Oh,
come
yeah.
on.
Come on down. Yeah, line up at the front there if you want to ask
Get
a question.
Get in the camera. Hop in between me and Omar. You can have a
come on.
Soviet strength sandwich.
Yeah. Sausage fest.
A sandwich?
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's your name?
My name's Holden.
Hey, Holden.
How's it going?
How you feeling?
Feeling good.
Now ask your damn question, man. So, I'm paying for your dinner.
All right, all right. So do you guys think that there's room in the YouTube community for fitness things to grow? Or is it pretty tapped out by now? Or do you see in the future things growing to be like more of good content or just continuing to be kind of...
Bullshit.
Various? You mean different types of content or like more people entering or it just expanding as a whole?
Does it have room to grow? Are we at the kind of pinnacle of
sure.
what the YouTube fitness community can be?
Great question. Get out of here.
Yeah, that actually was a very good question.
I think we've talked about this a little bit, me and Mark at least, and Jim.
Yeah,
Omar,
yeah.
You're not our friend,
not
so we
invited.
Don't talk much.
Yeah.
But what we talked about is, you know, personally, I think like TV is going out the door.
Yeah.
You know, like whether it's YouTube or whether it's streaming, Netflix,
who's on the internet
Amazon.
More than on TV? Probably.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah, like most people, yeah.
You know, so streaming's next. You know, who's the guy that makes weird food and then eats it?
Not Epic Mealtime?
Yeah, Epic. He has like a TV show now. Yeah, you know, things are just going to evolve that way. I don't know if the fitness YouTube's tapped out.
No.
But I definitely think things are expanding.
So for me, being there since like 2009 when I started, like YouTube really started 2005, 2006, and seeing it in 2009, 2010, 11, the biggest fitness channel had maybe 10 or 20,000 subscribers, right? Yeah. These days, like you have Twin Muscle Workout, you have other channels, a million plus. The amount of people that watch fitness content today on YouTube is way bigger than it was 5 years ago. And according to all the like metrics, the statistics, it's only getting bigger and bigger. I think there's a
according
lot of room.
Omar's analysis.
According to the number, according to my calculator here, my pocket calculator, there's a lot of room to grow. There's a lot of room. I think there's actually a lot of untapped segments. Like everybody, like we're talking about powerlifting right here in strength training, and it's blown up. Before it was all bodybuilding, so strength is new. But I think like Olympic lifting, strongman, just more knowledgeable videos, better content, better information. I think we're probably just at like kind of the starting point, the middle point. It's not been tapped out. If you look at video games just quickly on the YouTube, like video game channels, a couple years ago there's only a few of them. They didn't have a lot of subscribers, and now they're in the millions. So I think fitness content, as more people latch on, people want to see technique, they want to learn information, they want to find motivation. More and more people are going to be watching content and producing content, and hopefully it's better. Next question.
You and I talked couple days ago about 2015.
Oh yeah.
About how it's just going to be a downward spiral.
Oh, yeah. We're quitting. We're announcing we're quitting. Yeah. This is the last power.
It's just going to be on the.
It's all downhill from here. Might as well just quit.
Just everybody always talks about the next year being better and better, and we were just talking about just taking a huge nosedive.
We're just Elliot Hulse and just drop the mic and right now and just walk out.
Hopefully things just continue to get better and people continue to put out good information.
Yeah. Next question.
Hey, come on up, man.
Come on down.
Look at them there shorts.
Drew Carey's a great replacement, by the way.
Did you see when the announcer like smacked his head off of the treadmill? He was like doing the announcement.
amazing. That sounds great, though.
I love viral videos. All right, hey, how's it going, man? What's your name?
Mark.
Okay, what's up, Mark?
I came from L.A., so that's why I got the shorts on.
Dude.
Hell yeah. Hey. That's amazing.
You're getting some free slingshots.
You got a quest bar, buddy.
You got a quest bar.
You ran from L.A.? Oh, okay.
Yeah, what does the shorts have to do with anything?
Yeah, okay.
You're the what?
I feel like I'm the daintiest dude here.
Daintiest? What's that mean?
Well, that's why you came up by Omar, to feel a little bigger.
Feel bigger. Yeah.
Actually, I was going to stand by Mark, but I think I'm going to probably explode. But anyways, you said that, well, you kind of grew up or you developed this whole thing in an environment where there's like, it is kind of a strange thing, like powerlifting and whatnot.
You're saying I'm weird?
We already knew that.
Well, I mean, I'm fucking weird, too.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, to get into what it is.
We could be weird together.
Yeah, did we just become best friends?
Are we besties?
We just become best friends? Yep!
My name's Mark, so.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
That's a connection. But how'd you like stick it out so that you like, I mean, you're doing this for free, and I'm trying to piece things together back in L.A. too.
Right.
To get into this. So how, I mean, besides the passion, like, what? How did you kind of.
How did you become so successful?
He moved out of so L.A. Key.
The key is you have to find yourself.
Oh,
that's my new thing.
What?
That's my new thing. Yeah, you gotta find your inner self.
Okay.
You gotta be searching for yourself.
I'm still looking.
Yeah, there you go.
No, but go on.
All right, go back to your seat.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming from L.A.
That's amazing.
And a quest bar. Look at you.
You'll get a sleep shot.
None of this would be possible without tons of support from friends and family. The wifey supported the family for a long time, but then also the support from people I have around me. So it wasn't an easy road. Like, things weren't always great. There were times where Mark Bell was actually looking for, or not even looking for, but possibly maybe considering getting a actual job. But those days are pretty much long gone for now. So hopefully they don't ever return. But you're going to have to kind of choose your own path. Not everybody's going to be able to have a free gym. Everyone's going to have kind of their own way, their own route, their own way of doing things. Omar with his YouTubes, he's able to generate some income off of that. He made an apparel line behind that, and so maybe that's something somebody else could do, and they could possibly generate enough money to have a gym that's either free or less expensive, or something along those lines. But I think the key for me has always been, I always just try to make and create things that I like for myself. And then, I was lucky enough that other people liked it too.
Yeah. And I think the idea of failing forward, like, you don't necessarily know everything that you have in mind. Like, when you said a great part where I was asking you about, like, the slingshot and how you started your business, where you said, man, when I first thought this up, I thought it was, like, you know, a $2, $3 million idea. But you never know where it's going to take you. Now you think, like, you're revising the what? It's even bigger than you thought possible. And even more, yeah. Now you have even bigger goals. So it's the idea of, like, maybe failing forward, where you might not know what the next step is. But if you keep pushing forward, you'll eventually figure it out and piece it together. Yeah, yeah, sure. Whoa. Did we just have a connection?
I just found myself.
We joke a lot about, like Oprah and, like, grounding yourself and meditating and remembering your spirit.
Is that why you guys watch Harry Potter together?
Oh, man, it was amazing. We're watching The Goblet of Fire. Shout out to Cedric, who gets smoked. R.I.P. R.I.P.
Did you guys cry?
That was a serious R.I.P. We're eating ice cream together, being two fatties. It's pretty awesome. All right, next question.
How about this side of the building?
Come on. Someone's got a question? Any question?
This side of the building.
I know someone's got a question. All right,
well,
now.
Everybody can go home then in that case.
Yeah. Thanks for being such a weak player.
Ooh.
My wig.
What is
my
underneath
wig.
The
my
bandana?
Wig. My wig. It's what keeps the top. It's, this is true. This is true. It's, you know,
I've seen him without it. It's crazy.
It's weird.
It's wild.
It's weird. Okay. There's a third nipple up there. It's beyond weird.
I've heard my, like, 40 or 30% of humans have a third nipple and don't know it or something.
Oh, my God.
Like, that you think it's a freckle or something?
Mm.
it just went down to 0.5%.
Is this the same factoid place?
Yeah.
Google it.
Oh, no. It's named
Worthlessfacts.com from Silent Mike.
Is that third nipple made of Nutella?
Yeah. Maybe.
Facts.com. Well,
Andy Bell.
No one has any questions for real. No one wants
Who's
to ask
got
anything?
Some questions? Any cues for anybody, anything?
We could just go on and keep rambling. That's what we do.
Michael.
No?
Did you by any chance, like, solicit questions off the internet?
No, we didn't ask for questions. I should do that on Facebook.
We should have, coulda, woulda.
But no,
no questions? Lifting?
No, let's direct it back to the people. It's like you're seeing all these, like, ton of young lifters getting into strength training. You've coached a ton of them. If you had to give, I guess, some parting words to wrap up this PowerCast, what would you be saying to them when they want to pursue these goals? Because you've coached, like, a lot of people.
What? Dick Lickerson's screaming at me. I don't really know what's going
nipple?
On.
Is that their nipple?
He's got some sign language going on.
All right. What's the nipple statistic? Tell us.
Nipple stats?
Who has a third nipple here, and who's willing to show it on camera? Don't be shy. Come on down. His voice is so deep, it's probably, like, it's louder than ours.
I know. It's crazy.
Jeez.
He doesn't need a microphone. Often mistaken for moles. One out of 18 males and one in approximately 50 female humans.
You said 30%. That's like 5%.
Oh, are you a mathematician?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Are you some sort of scientist? Are you a doctor?
Oh, my God.
So now that we found the nipple, so you know what that means? One out of every 18 people.
Yeah,
there's
somebody.
Like, there's like 60 people.
There's some triple nipples.
Fuckers.
There's some triple nipples in here.
Okay, trip nips. Okay, let's do it. But anyway, sorry. Back to the serious question, Mark, about giving some advice. Like, all these guys are hungry, all these guys and gals. You coach a lot of people. You've also, like, you've experienced a lot of things. You've been through the ups and downs. Lay down some wisdom. Lay down some rhythm for me.
What kind of wisdom would you like to hear, sir?
Something to inspire me to get 600 pounds tomorrow. I don't know. Like, something good.
You should probably just go back to Canada.
Just do it.
Oh, man. I don't know how to fucking answer that question.
I like it. I like the honesty.
You know, I do see people, kind of wasting their energy with certain types of training that I don't agree with. I see people complicating things, and it's unnecessary to complicate things. You go in, you find a few exercises, and you try to train hard on those exercises. Each and every time you go to the gym, you're trying to make yourself better. So if you just go in with that mindset, that's a pretty simple idea. It's a pretty simple concept. You know, you can ask yourself after the workout, did I get better today? The question doesn't have to necessarily be, did I get stronger today? Because that is not always going to happen, no matter how strong you are, how talented you are, how new you are, how old you are into the sport. That's not going to always happen for you. So you have to just try to keep things simple. Like, the question at the end of every workout, the question going into the gym every day is just, how do I make myself more betterist? And that question can even stem from even days that you're not in the gym and you're just watching other lifters on YouTube. One of the most valuable things that I discovered was to try to find people of similar body type and try to watch the way that they lift. And
so you're just watching the Ultimate Warrior all day?
Yeah, exactly. If you watch someone like Benedict Magnuson, the all-time biggest deadlift, 1,019 deadlift, there's not a lot to learn from him other than he's a beast and he's on a different level than everybody else. He's got long arms, and he's just simply flat out just stronger than anybody else in the history of the world when it comes to deadlifting. So there's really not a ton to really learn from that guy. He just kind of bends over and picks the weight up. And you'll kind of find that common with some other mutants that are out there. So try to find people that are similar to yourself. Maybe you can find – there's just so many videos. There's so much information out there. I think the reason why some people are attracted to someone like Mr. Ass Muffin over here is that
– the legendary.
I think people are attracted to him because they can identify with him. He weighs 185 pounds. Probably
110.
He weighs 110 pounds soaking wet.
Yeah.
But it's a body frame that's common. So you try to find someone that has a similar body type to yourself and try to learn from them.
Yeah, I think relatability is huge, what you were saying, like someone that you could try and follow then or be inspired
by.
Yeah.
Your training also has to fit your mindset. So if you are trying to be real meticulous and you're trying to write everything down and you're trying to be real analytical about it, just make sure that you're that way normally. If you're not that way normally and it doesn't feel right to you, then stop fucking writing stuff down. Yeah. I don't ever write anything down when it comes to training. I just go in and I just work out. I pick an exercise for the day to work hard on, and I just said hard on.
Hard on.
You also said analytics.
I pick an exercise to work hard on.
To work hard on.
Anyway, try to find an exercise that you can commit to and try to make sure that you're going as hard as you can on it. That's pretty much it. Keep it simple.
What about you, Mike? You've been making all kinds of gains. Give some wisdom now.
Gains.
And do you have a third nipple? Because you brought up that statistic.
I know, but you were denying it so hard.
Well, you said 30%, and I'm called bullshit, just like the Nutella.
What's 1 out of 18 then, mathematician?
Yeah, it's like 5.6%.
So, whoa!
Yeah. Look it up.
Whoa now.
Look it up.
Hey now.
Is it? Someone, Sam, crunch those numbers. Make some bacon for me. Come on, man.
1/18th?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh. Yeah. No, I think he's right.
It's 1/18th. What's the percentage? Give me the percentage. Do you know how to work...
5.5.
What are you doing?
Jeez.
Now you have
to take a round of applause for myself.
5.5. That's how many seconds it took Silent Mike to whoop your ass on the prowler, right?
Oh. You're keeping this Canada versus America thing live. I love it.
Yeah.
We're going to bring you down. Yeah, Mike, give some wisdom here. Drop some knowledge up in here.
I don't know. There's just a good balance that you have to find in really pushing yourself in training and not being an idiot. You know, the whole fuck your elbow thing's cool, but there is a time to tone it back. Don't be a moron with your training. Manage your volume. There's going to be light days. There's going to be days you don't feel it. And there's also going to be days where you feel beat up and you have to push it.
Yeah. Fuck your elbow doesn't really mean fuck your elbow exactly. Fuck your elbow means don't let your limitations keep you from training something. Like, always be productive, whether or not you can do exactly what you had planned to do.
Yeah, the best thing, you know, or one of the best things Mark's told me is, you know, if my back's hurt or something, he said, stop thinking of that you can't squat and start focusing on what you can do. You know, can you front squat? Can you stiff leg deadlift? Can you go do some lunges? Can you push the prowler? What can you do to get better that day rather than what is your limitations of that day or overall? Whether, you know, maybe you can't squat because you have an injury or something more serious. But what can you do, you know? What can you do to get better that day?
I think there's also a fine line between people being too hard on themselves and pushing
What's
themselves
What's up with this word?
Hard on themselves. It's word is hard on. It pops up all the time?
It does pop up all the time. No, I mean...
Hey, now.
You see it a lot. People
go
comment,
a little deeper,
like,
Omar. Wait one second. That hey now sucked. Fix that hey now.
I need Mr. Lickerson to say it.
Hey now.
Hey now.
Hey there now.
Yeah. All right,
that's
continue,
a very
Jim.
White voice.
What was I saying? I totally don't remember.
About racist,
very white.
About hard-ons.
Hard-ons.
Okay.
Very white.
You know, I see it all the time. People are like, oh, I'm not. My deadlift's been stuck at whatever for this long, whatever. You need to understand that there isn't this progression that happens.
Oh yeah.
You know, you're not going to get a PR every single week on every single lift, even the one you're concentrating on. Sometimes you suck. You have days that suck. And eventually it gets better if you're consistent, if you keep going back to it. But if you give up on things too quickly, if you give up on a program too quickly, if you give up on a diet too quickly, you're never going to see the results you're looking for.
Some serious wisdom right
there. Bada boom, bada bang.
Well, I'm old as fuck, so if I'm not wise
by now, how old are you, Jim?
It's not going to happen. I'm 51 years old.
And he has 19-inch calves, people. Yeah. World's best calves.
Do the math.
Do the math. Think how long it took to build them.
1/18.
5.5%.
Wow.
All right. I think
anybody got any questions?
Yeah, we got more questions.
Sure.
Superman over there has got questions.
Keep those biceps back there, though.
Yeah, come on up. I'm going to have to stand up here. Jeez. Let's not get
out of angle. What's your question?
Let's not get out of angle there, man.
What's up, man? So I'm wondering, like, I know powerlifting is getting really, 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 it's the new thing that everyone wants to do. What do you think about, like, newer trainees getting into it and, like, everyone wants to hit new one rep max all the time, and they're not working on mobility, they're not working on preventative measures. What do you think about that? Because it is bringing, like, a new light to the sport, but is it necessarily a good thing?
Like, is it almost dangerous?
Yeah. That question was way too well phrased for our show.
Way too intellectual.
I think, everything's always measured by progress. So if you're making progress, then keep on keeping on, you know? If you're not making progress, start to hit a wall, then it'd be wise to look into some other measures. Testing your strength is not always a smart thing to do. In my opinion, you should only kind of test your strength once a month or about every other week. If you're a newer person and you're just simply not that strong yet, you can test your strength a little more often. But it's a good idea, we're big fans of the conjugate system in here, of the West Side Barbell approach, and we utilize a lot of different exercises, special exercises. We use a lot of different movements to make ourselves stronger, and when we use those movements, we use many different styles of reps and sets, so oftentimes we're not just testing our strength. Yesterday I did some bench pressing, I did sets of five, and I kept my feet up on the bench the whole time, so that's not like anything revolutionary or anything over
the
top.
Didn't take any additional equipment to do that?
Yeah, no additional equipment. I don't need anything special. I don't need bands or chains or anything like that. It's just a small change of pace. So it's good to switch stuff up. If you want to get better over a long period of time, you're going to have to change things up. One thing I don't see enough of people practicing is just the act of practicing. You don't hear it in powerlifting. You don't hear about people talking about, I'm going to go in and just
practice?
Kind of. Yeah, you're talking about practice? Come on, man. We're talking about practice.
Practice makes perfect.
You just don't hear people talk about it enough. You know, there's no reason why, if you feel like you suck at squatting, there's no reason why you can't go in and practice that trade and try to get better at it. If you're not good at deadlifts, same thing with bench press. You know, learn how to do your trade, learn how to do your craft, and try to continue not only to get stronger at it, try to continue to get better at it.
I think as the popularity of powerlifting is growing, so is the popularity of different fitness celebrities, like I mentioned earlier, like Kelly Starrett and guys that do have a big following. So I think people are aware of mobility and they're aware of how to start. The only thing I would add to Mark's is, like Mark said, we're really into the kind of the West Side conjugate method, which is an easy way to get hypertrophy in your training too. If you're totally unconditioned and you never touched a weight in your life and you come in here and try to max out on deadlifts, there might be issues. But with our training methods, we're always hitting hypertrophy. So I think, you know, in other methods like the cube method or daily undulating periodization, it doesn't really matter what. But the point is that you get some hypertrophy work, which is preventative for a power lifter. You know, doing rows, doing lats, doing face pulls, pull downs, stuff like that is preventative for us. It helps get muscle on, and that'll kind of keep you continuing your strength curve.
And film yourself when you're lifting if you lift alone.
All right, you perv. You and filming yourself all the time.
I film you all the time. Is that you could take a look at your own technique, and then you could try and analyze it, right, and get a little better.
Yeah, if you don't have training partners, it's a must, I think.
Oh, because then you think you're hitting depth, you're not hitting depth, you're like bench, maybe one elbow is a little screwy. All that. So I would say if you're alone and you're trying to, you know, get stronger, film yourself.
Great idea, Omar.
Watch yourself later.
Omar.
Watch
yourself. We got a question?
Next question.
Come on in between us, tank
top,
man.
Not that question. Another question. I like your hair.
Thank you. I'm Thor. How's it going?
Beautiful locks.
What's your name?
Thor.
Thor.
Yes.
Is that your real name?
No.
Okay.
No. So will there be a time like before or after when you guys go through the lifts that we could bring in some stuff? Have you guys signed it?
Absolutely.
Cool. All right, cool, thanks.
That's a,
yeah, right, want, never. Get out of here.
Yeah, get out of here. We planted that guy in there. Any other questions?
Yeah, we just paid him $50 to make us look cool.
Make us look cool. Thanks. Anyone else have any other questions about training?
Or life.
Life. Nutrition.
Or relationships. Come on up,
come
man.
On down. Ba-dum-ba-dum. Hey, now. He's about 5'7", 155.
You just switched game shows. Yeah, what are you on to now?
I'm doing an announcer. So I'm going to be like, Raw Wrestling.
What's up, man?
What's your name, dude?
I'm Justin.
Hey, Justin. Nice to meet you.
That thing right up in there.
Is there right a really big difference, like, wearing, heavy lifting shoes, like powerlifting shoes?
Like weightlifting shoes? Or?
Yeah, weightlifting shoes okay. As opposed to wearing, like, just Converse.
Cool.
Yeah, good question. Good question.
Good question.
An elevated heel is really important for anybody with mobility issues, but not everybody needs it. Any sort of flat shoe will do the trick in terms of squats and deadlifts, stuff like that. Bench press doesn't matter too much. I've always personally liked to have a little bit of a heel when I bench press, so a lot of times I'll wear an Olympic shoe or anything that has an elevated heel. But again, if you're somebody who struggles with mobility, you tend to kind of tip forward a lot on your squats. If you want to be a little bit more upright and try to use a little bit more quad, then you're going to want to go with an Olympic lifting shoe. I also think it's wise to use both styles of shoe. I do a lot of my training in a flat shoe. I do a lot of box squats that way. And then mix in some regular Olympic-style squatting with Olympic lifting shoes.
Same.
A lot of people buy the Olympic lifting shoes because they see other people wearing them on YouTube or whatever
all the cool
and don't
kids are
understand
doing it.
Why they're buying them. If you don't have the mobility problems, you don't have that ankle flexibility problem, you don't need them. If you tip forward, try putting a 5-pound plate behind your or under your
heels. That's a good way of discovering
heels.
Whether you have the issue.
And, sure. And if that helps you, then you buy the Olympic lifting shoes.
Yeah,
if it doesn't help, then don't do it.
I say that's after maybe you do some mobility.
Right.
Yeah. If you had your arms stretching your
fix
calves.
The issue. Yeah.
Yeah, try to fix the issue. Some people, hips insertions and this and that are the case where you can't fix it, but often it is. But we do suggest something flat, something stiff on the bottom, not running shoes,
something
not basketball
stiff.
Shoes. Yeah, stiff.
Something stiff.
Yeah.
What
else definitely we got? You definitely don't want to don't want your foot kind of squishing out on the sides of your feet while you're trying to do a squat or a deadlift. That's just extremely dangerous. And you could definitely put a lot of pressure on your patella tendon by doing that. So try to find something flat that actually fits your fat foot a little bit better.
We recommend.
Hey, now.
The Reebok.
There is a
CrossFit
Reebok TRL.
Oh,
yeah.
Hey.
They're really super comfortable. A lot of people don't really know what the difference is between them and a Converse shoe. And really the biggest difference is, from my perspective, is they don't roll over or blow out the sides the way a Chuck does. And they're really grippy. And probably the third thing is that the sole is so thin, you can really feel the floor under you. They're very much designed for a wider stance squat or a sumo deadlift. So they don't necessarily make the biggest difference for everybody, but I still prefer them. I can walk around in these, and I can't walk around in Chucks. So.
The one thing about Olympic lifting shoes is I see some people wearing those Nike Olympic lifting shoes, and in my opinion, those are too high. To me, I think that's too elevated.
For
powerlifting, yeah. I don't know anything about Olympic lifting, and I don't want to. But in powerlifting terms, especially anyone who's going to get into some really big weights, it's sort of rare to see people with a high elevated heel lifting big weights. You do have some guys like Dan Green. You got a few other guys in Olympic lifting shoes that are lifting huge weights. But their heel is not as elevated as those Nike or those Adidas ones.
Yeah, you can do your research.
The only guy that I'm aware of is only like one dude, I think, and that's Chad Wesley Smith is the only guy that I've seen in a pair of Nikes that's like hitting some huge, huge weight. But he also has...
He's a freak.
He's got like a 30-inch kneecap.
Yeah. Yeah, those have a little bit higher heel. It's the Nike Romaleos. Some of the Adidas, I think, power lifts, and then the Reebok lifters tend to have a little bit smaller of a heel. And just for us, right, in powerlifting, the sport is to hit depth. You don't get extra points for going deeper.
Anybody have any other questions? Anything on nutrition?
Come on.
Training?
Oh, little fat guy in the front.
Hey,
what do you got, buddy?
Hey,
ladies and gentlemen, this is Bob Evans, Fat Dan.
Fat Dan.
Fat Dan. That's his legal name. What you got for us, buddy?
Name. So
So, you know,
God, you smell.
I squant with you on a pretty weekly basis.
Squants. How many times would you say that you fart on one rep?
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to you, Mark. Mark Bell.
Coach yeah,
Mark
per rep.
All right, get back
rep,
to your seat, fatty.
Per rep, it's probably about 3 farts per rep.
One rep, on 3 farts. Farts. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. One.
So
repetition,
mathematician, Mark did a set of 5. How many farts?
About a billion.
Yeah. He is. Yeah. He's single-handedly causing.
We try
global
to
global warming.
Yeah, we try to. Tell each other all the time, like, hey,
fart,
you know,
more.
Try that next. Well, we should just do that. That's where we're at. But I'll always walk by someone and I'll say, hey, try that next set without farting.
If you've seen what a subwoofer looks like when it's firing.
Blown out.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it
is. It's a blown out
so much methane.
We got lots of problems in here.
Any other questions out there? What you guys
one
got?
More. Maybe, oh,
come
I
on
like,
man.
Hey, Goku here. Come on down. He's going to go Super Saiyan. I like it.
That was corny.
What's up, dude? Corny
What's
as
happening,
hell.
Man?
So a lot of the time when I see people like miss lifts, when people like miss lifts or they're not progressing as fast as they want to, you know, they say like, I need to like change my program. Or I need more time to get strong or something like that. But I feel like in powerlifting, a lot of us as powerlifters, we neglect the technical aspect. Like, for example, like for a golfer, like if you're a pro golfer, if you want to get better at golf, you practice your swing, you analyze your mechanics and you fix it. Whereas like a lot of powerlifters, they just don't put in that time to like figure out what they're doing wrong with their technique. It's always like, I need to get stronger, I need to get stronger. But I guess a better example would be like Olympic lifters.
Sure.
They always, like, they practice their skill over and over again. Yeah. They get better at it. But it's a little bit like perplexing to me, I guess, why so many powerlifters don't think that much about technique. So,
sir, do you have a question?
Yeah.
That was a statement. I liked it.
The question, I guess, is like, what?
Are you wearing Axe or Old Spice?
Zenya, Womo.
Oh, okay.
Sour. That's pheromones right there.
Just putting out the vibe.
But yeah, no. Yeah, so I guess the question is just, why do so many powerlifters neglect the technical aspect?
Because we're dumb.
I just think that people are just excited to go heavy. You know, they're hungry. They're hungry to try to see that next PR. And so sometimes you forget the simple things.
Ego.
You forget the old blocking and tackling that the football coach taught.
Yeah.
The basics and fundamentals are always the most important thing.
I think that is a good question. And you mentioned weightlifters, and there are many styles of powerlifting. There's many styles of weightlifting. You know, there are weightlifters that practice specialty exercises, blocks, different exercises that aren't the competition lift. And I think in all strength sports, there's two things to get you better. One is strength, pure strength, and one is, you know, technical skill. And you can get both. You know, we do a lot of good mornings. We do a lot of exercises that just work our strength. And then separately, we may do a lighter set of the competition lift to get you a little bit better. Finding the mix is important. And not going too heavy too often is important.
Also, a lot of times when people miss a lift, like you mentioned, they want to change their program. And that's the worst thing that you can do. As Jim mentioned earlier, make sure you're trying to stick with your program. For at least a few weeks, you got to give it a chance. You probably legitimately need to give it about 2 months to see if it's working. And if you're starting to miss lifts or you're running into any sort of problems, usually you have to make one or two changes and not 30. So keep that in mind. Just the best thing to do is just always try to keep it simple and just keep plowing forward.
Yeah.
Yep.
Can we mention what you're doing on the podcast?
Go ahead.
Omar's up here. We're trying to give you guys information. He's up here on Tinder.
Matching with the dudes. Yeah, so
him and Nickerson just swiped right on each other.
That shirt, man.
Any other questions?
One more.
Yeah, come on up, man. Come on up.
Come on
down. We got room for many.
Get on.
Yeah, we're going all day, Omar.
You already asked the question, though.
Well, he's got another one.
No, one question. One question.
Second question is $5.
$5.
So, speaking about programs...
oh, God, it's going to be a good one, I could tell. It's going to be complicated.
Well, like, is it more important to stick to a program than it is to just go into the gym and, like, do what you want to do?
I think you can have a routine...
No, you can't curl 7 days a week.
You can.
Great question.
You can simplify it by having a training split. That's the easiest way to do it. You got a bench day, a squat day, and a deadlift day. And for us, we have a fourth day, which is kind of accessory / speed work type thing. But you can really simplify your program if you're just basing it around those three lifts. And you don't have to have any sort of real set routine to it. You can do, like, what I always kind of wonder is, like, why don't people just employ all these methods. Like, didn't Bruce Lee say that? Be like water,
except,
right?
Except what is useful, reject what is not.
Right. And you can just take, you know, 5 sets of 5 works, 3 sets of 3 works, 10 sets of 10 works, bodybuilding works, powerlifting works, weightlifting works. A lot of different things can be really, really effective. And so why not utilize those methods and apply them to your training? If you use the exercises, can kind of lead your routine. Your training split can kind of lead your routine. Many, many bodybuilders are just insanely strong, and they don't really follow a strict program, but they always talk about their training split. And, you know, they'll go through different time periods when they do, you know, higher reps and lower reps and those types of things, depending on how far out their contest is and stuff like that. But, again, just like I always say, just try to keep it, just try to simplify it. Take it one exercise at a time, and if you in one given training session, you're really only going to get, when you're talking about strength, you're only going to get to about 4 or 5 exercises. You might only even get to about 3 because you're going to do like a squat, then you might do some variation of like a row or a deadlift, and then it's going to be time to do abs, and everybody skips abs and goes home and eats pizza, right?
I think the word program gets a little confusing. Sure. People think it has to be, you know, 62% for 7x3 or whatever, but maybe we're too simple, but we kind of just break things down as we're going heavy, which probably means sets of 1 to 5. You know, we're going to get volume in for a day, which could be a 5x5, it could be sets of 10, or we're going to work on technique and speed, and that's going to be lower reps with lighter weight. And all of our programming kind of goes around that. Hey, Mark, you know, last week we went heavy. This week let's do some reps. Okay, we're feeling beat up. This week we're going to work on technique, go a little bit lighter. And you can make a ton of progress just based on those 3 days.
It's also okay to get excited and, like, read about someone's program and follow it for a little while. But I guess what I'm saying is that shit don't work. Like the Shaco program and a lot of these other programs that you see out there, they're only effective with novice lifters. And they're only effective for a few months at a time. Just trust me, I've been in this business for a long time and seen a lot of people come and go. And those programs, I don't know why they're so popular. I don't know who is at the top of the food chain in powerlifting that utilizes that stuff. I have no idea who, other than little YouTubers who don't lift a whole lot of weight. I'm unaware of like
any
real legitimate strength athletes that utilize those programs. So.
Do you know anybody, any top powerlifter who you ever used Smuav or whatever?
Yeah, Smuav, all that shit.
What? The Smuav?
Well, the other thing, I don't want to discourage people. It's okay to get excited about a program and follow it for a little while because you're going to learn a lot about that program. You're going to learn a lot about yourself. You're going to find yourself.
Find yourself.
Then all lose yourself. Is really important. Yourself. All that stuff's really important, but and then hopefully you'll kind of stumble upon what's some of the things that are effective for yourself.
That stuff is really popular in catchy terms, you know, Smolov and Shiko and Shaco, whatever you want to pronounce it. You know, and Boris or whatever is a great coach, but you have to know that the stuff that you're going to Google and find is a random program. He coaches Milanichev, who's arguably the best powerlifter in the world right now, but he's not just sending him a random workout. He's tapering it to Milanichev, who's a fucking freak, and we're not him. That's the fact. And so you got to find what works. You are. You're very similar genetics to Milanichev, actually.
Load up the 1,000. Let's go.
So, yeah, you know, finding some reps and sets and a progression into a meet and all that's great. But also just working hard and learning what works for you is great, too. Next question.
Final question. Final countdown.
Omar's trying to get out of here. I think he has to pee really bad.
I got to go pee. No, I'm just seeing the time. I want to end with a bang.
Uh-oh.
It's about
Thor.
Signing other stuff.
Thor.
We will not sign Thor. We will not sign your
hammer. He came with a pen.
Okay, so you have to get so uncomfortably close to this thing. Okay, I'm going to open this subject up. I'm 16 years old. This one's for Mark.
Wow.
I'm 16. I'm sorry.
I thought you were like 35.
I'm sorry. I started training at 16.
How old are you?
19.
Well, God, that's... You look like you're fucking 50.
I'm so confused. He just went right through the flux capacitor, didn't he?
Right. I'm 19.
He must be related to Dick Lickerson.
Fat Dan's like...
That's some time travel right there.
Anyway,
we just missed 3 years.
By the way, I like your hair, too.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Got to look out
for each other. So, what age would you consider... Because, I know, I'm the one to open the subject. What age would you consider for me to start using anabolics?
Oh, hey now.
I knew it. Oh,
hey now.
Start today.
So, that's sent to Omar, right?
Hashtag.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on it for like 8 years. I don't know if you could tell.
On that note, I would just say, you know, accomplish something before you ever even consider them. So whatever it is your goals are, like hopefully you already have some goals set in your head. I would work towards achieving those goals, and there'll be a time when those goals are fewer and further between. And when that happens, then it might be time to look into it more. But I always say, you know, you should research it, look into it more, read about it, try to learn about it from other people. You don't, that's not something you want to haphazardly do. And it's also a life-altering decision. It's a decision that you will, it's a decision that you will not go back against, most likely. Once you go on them, you probably won't come off them. So there you go. Any other questions?
That was a serious question. I like it.
Yeah, that was too serious.
Yeah, whatever.
There goes the mood.
Oh, yeah.
Injecting yourself with oil is not that serious.
Come on up, man.
It's not that, not as weird as you think.
Synth.
There's a whole movie about it. I mean, yeah. It's not a huge deal. Maybe.
Maybe.
This guy's getting his money's
worth. So he just Thor just asked you about the
Thor. That's great.
Thor.
Oh, and then he opened up the can of worms.
19-year-old Thor.
Here we go. Supplement question, but
supplementation.
I'm just curious. In terms of actual supplementation, at what point would you say to actually incorporate that into your training?
Legal supplements.
The legal.
Okay, all right. We're back on the legal side.
Yeah.
All right. Well, get out of here.
In terms of legal supplements, protein powders, and those kinds of things, I think you can start those things at any time. But just realize they're just those items are mainly for convenience. You know, Quest bars, protein powders, those types of things, pre-workout drinks. You don't need that stuff to train, but if it helps you train and it helps you get to the gym. Then more power to you. When it comes to like pre-workout stuff, I would just be a little cautious with it. I'd go through waves of utilizing it when you really want to go heavy and you really want to push yourself. But if you have to take more and more of it every time you hit the gym and you're still tired when you get to the gym, then obviously it's not working that well for you. In terms of illegal supplementation, the old Muscle and Power, which is now called Muscle and Fitness, it used to list out a whole routine that the guy would do. Like it would say, you know, 3 sets of 10 bench, 3 sets of 10 incline dumbbell, 3 sets of 10 of flies, 3 sets of 10 of this, 3 sets of 10 of that. After the training session, it would talk about diet. It would say, this is kind of the style of diet that I followed. And within the text, within the very confines of the workout itself, it would say 3 Dianabol pills. It was just like part of the routine. So back then it wasn't as huge. That's before it was illegal, but back then it wasn't as huge of a thing. People just said, all right, well, I want to get bigger, so I need to eat, I need to train, and I need to take these supplements to get bigger.
Yeah, what I would say with legal supplements is it's a very typical answer, but if you're not working hard in the gym and your diet's not in check, it's just a waste of money and a waste of time. You know, make sure you're eating the right amount for your goals. Make sure you're training enough, your volume's up, like for your goals. And then after that, yeah, sure, you can spend some money on creatine or caffeine or whatever else you need.
Concentrating on getting more sleep is more important than which pre-workout you take.
Yeah, I told you my best supplement ever is my eye mask.
Yeah.
$30 eye mask. Do you have an eye mask?
That's so weird. No.
Dude. Yeah, well, that's why you look like you and I look like me.
That's why you look like shit. Oh, it's back on, Mike. We're going to do a bench off today.
Uh-oh. You sometimes hear you know, people, especially the bodybuilding community, they're big believers in just eating food. And I would say, yeah, of course you need food. But I'm also somebody, you know, from the time I started this whole journey, I've always utilized supplements. I think they're convenient. They're easy to use. You can get big with them. Like a lot of people just think, oh, food's more anabolic or digests differently. And it does. It does to a certain extent. But why not utilize some newer things that are out there that are convenient? And plus, I like to taste them. And it helps keep me from being a fat kid and eating peanut butter cups all day.
Hey,
there's nothing wrong with peanut butter cups.
Although they do get snuck into my diet from time to time.
There's nothing wrong. I'm so into peanut butter cups. No. I'm super surprised how healthy, so I've been hanging out with Mark, he's been eating. Like I think, I don't know if you've become a hipster or something. It's crazy. Like we had like sushi, like $150 hats, talking about being a metrosexual, like just everything. But seriously, since I've been down, and like he eats whatever he wants, but it's been like your wife cooked some like enchiladas that were like super, like low fat, like the turkey walnut, it was delicious, right? The spaghetti, sushi, everything we've
meatballs.
Eaten. I think the only thing we had was like a small ass bowl because Mark's like, I don't want to get too fat, of ice cream. We were watching like Django Unchained yesterday, and that was it. Over the last 4 days, like you'd be surprised with what he eats.
Well, it's been pretty good. It's been pretty good.
I feel too healthy.
The only rule that I follow, like there's certain time periods where I'll get on this kick of war on carbs, and I'll follow a no carb ketogenic style diet. But there's also time periods where I won't really necessarily quote unquote diet, and those times I just try to lower my fat intake when I'm eating carbs, and when I'm not eating carbs in a certain meal, the fat content can be higher. So
yeah, well, I think that the nature of social media, people have seen the things that you have posted over time, and even people that we used to know fairly well that we don't know as well anymore like to say, oh, all Mark does is eat, you know, chicken wings, and he tells people to eat chicken wings, and you know,
chicken wings are good.
Eat
wings
coconut oil out of the bucket, and you know,
occasionally
salami. Constantly,
he loves salami.
Never eat any vegetables and all that stuff. And that, you know,
ew.
Those are snapshots of things right. in time. And people try to make a diet out of snapshots,
sure,
which is dumb.
Yeah,
which is dumb. Like,
put a label on it.
Do some of your own fucking research. You know, that's
Jim is getting pissed.
He's talking to you, Omar.
I hate vegetables. Though,
I want the ice cream.
You hate vegetables, but you still eat them.
I've seen
you eat vegetables
occasionally. I do.
Yeah,
not very happily though.
Yeah.
Like potatoes, right?
If you're on a diet, vegetables are great because they can help fill you up.
Right.
So it's a low caloric intake, and it can help fill you up. That's why bodybuilders utilize it so much when they're getting ready for bodybuilding show. They just pretty much eat fish, chicken, and vegetables.
Right.
Miserable.
Tilapia thins the skin.
Tilapia.
Any other questions?
Gotta get to -3% body fat.
Anybody got any other questions?
Who are sub 5% body fat? Raise your hands. You are definitely over 50%. Okay. Mr. Lickerson, we know that's a lie.
The body fat percentage of Swiss cheese, ladies and gentlemen.
The exact same.
Unbelievable.
Any other questions? Let's close it out with something. Let's rock and roll. Good question.
Bad
question.
Huh? We're in a rock and roll.
Come on, man. Been a long time.
Barbell Brigade.
Barbell. Hey.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bart Kwan.
What's up, man? What's your name?
Matt.
Hey, what's up, Matt?
Going on. What do you think is the best way to go about dealing with injuries or like bad joints or whatever?
Anything in specific or in particular?
Like, let's say I have a bad back, it just hurts all the time. Yeah. I do like an hour of mobility, just like get through the workout.
And it's not getting better. Like, it's basically staying the same with the amount of mobility work you're doing?
Yes.
Have you sought a qualified professional?
I'm working on that.
Okay. Yeah. I think there's a lot of stuff that you could do in terms of mobility to fix issues.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, there are far more knowledgeable people than all of us, like Kelly Shred or whatnot, that can lead us onto the right path. Maybe identify what the key issue is. Because sometimes we think, like, you know, for instance, myself, when I was squatting, the last time when I failed 505 and I blew out my TFL, I didn't know it was that. I thought it was my hip flexor, which is a separate issue. And so I was doing my own stuff, blew up my ass, and I thought it was a separate
TFL,
issue.
Huh?
Yeah, TFL is, you know, I thought it was a separate issue. Turned out I was wrong, and I was stretching. It wasn't working. And then finally when I went and saw someone, they were able to identify it and then found, you know, got to work also on the glute med, which is why the hip circle I have been using, it has helped too. Product placement, but it's true. It's helped. And then my hip got a lot better. I was kind of doing it on my own, right, with what I knew. And I know, you know, some things. I know one or two.
A thing or three.
That's it. But, and so I was doing it. It's feeling all right. Like, it kind of was staying the same. And then once I got a proper evaluation by someone that knew what they were talking about, like a sports therapist, and then they were like, A, B, C, followed it, and it got a lot better.
I think that has to be step number one, go to a pro.
Yeah,
right?
Go pro.
And then number two
no
is,
amateurs.
I kind of mentioned earlier, is focus on what you can do and not what you can't.
Yeah.
So your back hurts when you deadlift? Well, elevate the deadlift, do a good morning, do a squat, do a front squat, sit on the couch, something you can do.
And find yourself.
Find yourself.
Watch Harry Potter with Mark Bell.
With Mark.
A lot of times... you know, the injuries that we get, they kind of happen inside the gym, but they don't really happen inside the gym. They happen, you feel it inside the gym, or you feel it slightly after a workout because you overloaded your body. But the truth is, a lot of times these injuries are building up, and they're building up on a daily basis because you stand like shit. You walk like shit.
You look like shit.
You sit like shit.
You eat like shit. Like shit.
You are shit, like shit, kid.
And
hit
you
the bricks.
You sit like shit. Like
shit like shit.
Yeah, everything you do is shitty, and so you have to unshitty yourself. You have to basically.
This is so technical.
You have to check. You have to check yourself all the time when you're standing. Your abs should be turned on a little bit, about 20%.
Yeah. What about the other parts turned on? Is that an issue?
You should be fully turned on all the time.
All the time.
Your feet should be pointing straight. You shouldn't be walking like a duck. Your feet should be pointing straight ahead as much as you can handle. Even when you're just standing, even when you're walking, there's just certain things you're going to have to try to start to do and start to embrace on a daily basis if you want to try to get yourself out of pain.
Your butt should be turned on a little bit.
Your butt should be squeezed a little bit. You're going to have to try to get a little bit better posture if your job, if you have to sit quite a bit for your job, you're going to have to figure out ways of getting up out of your chair.
Or quit your job.
A little bit more often. Yeah, or quit your job or look into getting a different chair. A big mistake I see a lot of people make, and you're probably wondering how the fuck is this related to me hurting my back on a deadlift, but it's 100% related to hurting yourself in the gym, because you don't really hurt yourself in the gym because we know how to lift. We brace ourselves for those big lifts, and we learn over a period of time of how to do that. But what we forget is that we're taking things for granted. So when somebody goes to sit down at their computer, you see it all the time. People sit all sideways, like, I'm just going to be on here for like 2 minutes. And then they end up being on there for 30 minutes, and they're laying or sitting in some weird position. So do not do that. Treat yourself like a professional at all times. Even if you're someone who's just getting into this, you should treat yourself like a professional athlete. You see a pro athlete, they tweak a hamstring, and they're on the sidelines of like a football game, and they're like riding a bike or something, right? They're doing something immediately to take care of that issue. So with yourself, you know, like these guys said, like they mentioned, is try to find a professional. Try some ice. Try different stretches. Try different mobility. But make sure that you're just addressing the issue right away. Another thing you can do is simply miss a workout or two. You can try that. A lot of times, just missing a workout, a lot of times your back just gets really, really tight from deadlifting and squatting. But more often than not, it's a lot of the things you're doing in your daily life. Also, as Omar mentioned earlier, make sure you're videoing some of your lifts, and it could be that you're overextending or you're getting into flexion, rounding over too much in your workouts. So make sure that shit ain't happening, and you should make yourself better. Boom.
Boom.
Next question.
You want one more? What do you want, Jim? What do you want, Jimbo?
Yeah, all day.
All day, every day.
I'll make everybody in here fall asleep twice.
We could bring this one in for a landing.
Okay.
Yeah?
So one more.
Yeah, let's do one more. Let's close her out with one more. Good
shit,
one.
We'll do one more.
All right, and we're done.
And we're done. Who has a question? Any question? Doesn't. On the floor. Next question.
Okay, guys. So, even though this is
Powercast,
still powercasting. After this, we'll get into some squats and some benches and some deadlifts and stuff. We'll have a short break when we close this out. Multiply your hustle, multiply your muscle, and may all your shits be tapered.
Woo!
Thanks for coming, guys.
Thanks for coming.
Sam, make sure you get a shot of the crowd. Sam,
just
get a shot of the crowd.
Just do it.
By the way,
get a little crowd action in there.
Where can people find you, Omar?
People can find me if they search for Omar Surf Clam on the interwebs. It's the only place. Interwebs for health and fitness advice.
What's your Instagram?
Omar Surf Clam.
Huh?
All right, it's Omar Esoff.
You can find Mark at Mark Smelly Bell. You can find me at Silent Mike with 2 Ks.
Awesome.
I'm Jim McD, STTV, everywhere that I want you to find me. Follow the show on Instagram, Mark Bell's Powercast, Twitter, at STGymSack, Facebook.com/SuperTrainingGym. And thanks, everybody, for coming. Give yourself
can we get everybody here kind of in the middle? We're going to try to get a big old selfie.
Oh, my God.
So we get everybody to like, kind of circle around my man Wade, Sam.
Subscribe to Power Magazine at thepowermagazine.com. If you choose the digital edition, you can catch up on all the great back issues, take your training to the next level with Slingshot products at howmuchyoubench.net, and look for PSN products including NO Explode at bodybuilding.com. Mark Bell's Powercast is a production of supertraining.tv.